that buses was a larger topic, and there were two smaller topics, so I figured we would do those two smaller topics today. Probably, in terms of volume, it should actually be a shorter shiur. And then, Mitzvah Hashem, on Monday, pick up with the din of buses, Ladavar Ha'asar. The two topics are the sheet of Rabbi Yitzchak of Ein Kli Nitel El Tzarech Tavo Nitel that corresponds to a sheet of the Amoraim of Bittel Kli Mehechano, two different concepts which we'll discuss. And then we'll discuss the fascinating sugya of Total Behemar B'Shabbos. So two relatively small topics. Okay. The Gemara tells us on Mem Gimel Amid Aleph that there are different ways to understand the Shita of Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda has a comment immediately after the Shita of Rabbi Yitzchak, which is found on the Mishnah on Mem Beis Amid Beis. The Mishnah says, "Ein nosnen kli tachas haner lekabel boas hashemen." You're not allowed to put a utensil under the candle to accept the oil that's dripping down. So Rashi comments on Mem Beis Amid Beis, "Because savar ein kli nitel b'shabbos el tzarech davar hanitel." The only allowance that we make for the usage of kelim are for those things that need to be moved on Shabbos. But oil from the candle, which we're going to discuss down the line, is muktza. So then in such a case, Rabbi Yitzchak is of the opinion that not only can't you be metalta the oil, but you're not allowed to designate the kli for something that itself is usher to move on Shabbos. This is the shita of Rabbi Yitzchak. Now, la halacha, we don't spend too much time with Rabbi Yitzchak, because as the Gemara points out itself, on Mem Beis Amid Beis going to Mem Gimel Amid Aleph, we don't paskin that way. However, there is a shita of Rav Chisda that we do paskin like. The shita of Rav Chisda begins on Mem Beis Amid Beis. Amar Rav Chisda, Achal Bishem Amru, Ein Nos Nen Kli Tachas Tarangos, Akal Beitzasa, Aval Kofa Le Kli Shaloti Shaver. And the Gemara has a discussion, what exactly is Rav Chisda's Svara? And the Gemara equates that discussion of Rav Chisda to another shaila. And that's a sugya in Beitza. And it's quoted most clearly in our tour, if you don't have a Beitza with you. So if you take a look at the tour describes in Shin Lamed Ches, not in Shin Ches, but Shin Lamed Ches, discusses the case of a leak on Shabbos. So if you have a leak on Shabbos, so then are you allowed to catch that water that is falling from the leak? So here the Torah presents a machlokus between himself and the Rambam, which is based on Shitas Rav Chisda. The Shita of Rav Chisda is Ein Mevatlin Kli Mehechano. You're not allowed to, even though you could use a kli for something that's not a davar anitel, but if you're causing that the utensil not be able to be used entirely, then in such a case, then that is going to be usur. It's not that Ein Kli Nitel El Tzarech Davar Nitel could only be used with something that is normally put in that utensil. You could use it for things that are not normally put in the utensil. But if you're causing that utensil will not be able to be used again on Shabbos, that is going to be a problem. And that sheet of Rav Chisda we actually do follow. And therefore, the Gemara tells us, their Mishnah in Beitza that describes, Nosnen Kli Tachas Hadelef B'Shabbos, that you're allowed to put a utensil under a drip on Shabbos, is talking about water that is usable. But water that is unusable, in such a case, that is going to be a problem, because now the kli can't be used, you can't move the kli around anymore, because the water is muktza. The water is going to be muktza. So that's the problem of bittel kli mehechana. It's not that when it comes to a utensil, it can only be used in the way that it's normally used, but if you make the kli batel, that's going to be a problem. Tosos, on the top of Mem Gimel Amid Aleph, points out that Rashi in different places gives different reasons for that. Tosos points out, B'perek Basra Pirish B'Kontris, the Asr Mishum de Mechzi Kisosa. This is not really even a shaila of Moksa, but it looks like Seltzer. It appears like Seltzer because now the utensil is stuck in its place. The Kan Pirish, Kan here in Tosis on Tav Mem Gimel Amud Aleph, is referring to the Mishnah on Mem Beis Amud Beis. The Kashuv Kilu Mechabro Sham Batit. And some say that Rashi there says it looks like you're attaching it to the ground. So within the Isurim of Tiltel, there's another Isur of being using a Kli in a particular way, and that is possibly Ein Kli Nitl El Tzarech Dovar Nitl, which we don't paskin like, or Bitl Kli Mehechano, which we do paskin like. Now here, there is a Shaila in regards to this Halacha of using the Kli in a way that it no longer can be used again, and violating Bittel Kli Mehechano. And here we have the tour in Shin Lamed Ches, Zayin and Ches. There's a lot to say about Zayin, but since it's not critical, we'll leave Zayin for now, and we'll take a look at Ches. L'kulei Alma Yochal Liten Kli Tachas Hadelef Afilu B'Shabbos. Even though we have the Shita of Rav Tizda that says Ein Kli Nitel, excuse me, that Ein Mevatlin Kli Mehechano, nevertheless, you're allowed to put it under a drip. And if it gets filled up with a leak on Shabbos, then you're allowed to put it back. The Rambam says that is going to be permissible only if the water could be used for washing. Says the tour Viloni here. So says the tour that the Rambam is wrong, because this doesn't qualify as bitul kli mehechana. It only is a problem of ein kli nitel. The kli that you're using is normally used for soup. It's not used to catch the water. And therefore, it would be a problem, ain't kli nitel, but it's not a problem of bitul kli mechano. It's not a problem of bitul kli mechano. So the question is, what is this machlokus between the Rambam and the Tur? The Rambam says that's a problem. The Tur says it's not going to be a problem. Clearly, the Rambam also, in many places, clearly holds that we don't pass like Rabbi Yitzchak. So the machlokus is going to revolve around whether we say this is an issue of bitul kli mechano or not. So take a look. We're going to go through the Beis Yosef Keseder over here. We're going to go through the second half of Os Ches in the Beis Yosef. So Beis Yosef says, "Umashikas Rabbeinu v'lo nehira da mukim l'gmar hachi hainu dachlo Rabbi Yitzchak da enkli nitel atzarf da v'nitel vein alecha kamosa." Klomar explains the Beis Yosef. "Du svinu l'Rabbi Yitzchak medisnan knos enkli tachas dalch b'Shabbos." We see that it's just simply not true that you can't use the kli that's for soup, only for soup, because the Gemara shows that you're allowed to use it to catch the leek. V'shani hachamai skinam b'delef haro'oi. But the Gemara there says that we're talking about where it's a delef haro'oi. V'imkein lidi don the kamelon deloka Rabbi Yitzchak. Us who paskin against Rabbi Yitzchak, afilu b'delef she'ena ro'oi. Shari. Even if it's a delef that's not ro'oi, it's going to be permissible. In other words, at this stage, the Beis Yosef assumes that the Gemara was only speaking on the area of, in the domain of Ein Kli Nitel, El Tzarf Davar Nitel, Dahaynu. That if it's a Delef Haro'oi, so then it's called, you're even using a Kli, El Tzarf Davar Nitel. It's not just for soup. It's even for any water that's going to be drinkable. However, if it's water that's not drinkable, it's a problem of Rabbi Yitzchak. But it won't be a problem, according to Rav Chisda. So what is so that is the shita of the tour. That's how the Beis Yosef starts out. Ve'efshar ha'yilomar, the time of the Rambam. So what does the Rambam hold? He holds as follows. Bishum neperek akira aliba derab chizda de polygraf yitzchok min alonam bidelf haro'oi. The Rambam holds that no, the sugya is not only a problem of ein nitel, ein kli nitel, tzarach dar nitel. As I explained earlier, bedasa Rambam, it might even be a problem of bitel kli mehechano. And the Rambam understands that if it's going to be water that's not reusable, it's not going to be acceptable. V'zeu das haran, and this is the shita of the Ran. The Ran holds that this is the problem. Okay. Now, there is an important crossover, and that's why I'm doing the sugya now, between what we had left off with last time, the sugya of graf shel ri'i, ve'ein osin graf shel ri'i lechatchila, and our sugya. And that appears with the next question of the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef in Dibra Maslov Im Tomar says the following. Vim Tomar, what exactly is the problem over here? Kivon dim nosan mutl tatl maim hamwasin shabo. The halacha is that you should be able to be metaltel this water. This water should not be a problem. Why? Because it's a graf shori. If it's a graf shori, so then it should be fine. You should be able to be metaltel the water. That's the Beis Yosef's kasha. So in the second half of Vim Tomar, he answers and he says as follows. Inami, this is the way the Shulchan Aruch goes. Mishum d'stama d'masnisan ketani noslan kli pachas adelet. D'mashma d'afilu b'mokum she'osu taltel graf shari'i. K'gom b'mokum she'ein adam sham mutter liten kli pachas adelet. Mishum hachi ukimna b'delef haro'ui. D'ilu adelef she'ein roi lo psika milsa lahate b'chol mokum liten kli pachas adelet. Sharehu imu mokum d'lo shari tiltu mishum graf shari'i. Says the Beis Yosef as follows. He says, what did we finish off with last time? That there is an Isser to be Ose Graf Shel Re'i Lechatchila. You're not allowed to make a Graf Shel Re'i Lechatchila. So, the Shita, the Rambam is as follows. Since it's Oser to make a Graf Shel Re'i Lechatchila, so if you're putting the pot down in a place that it's usher to put it down to catch the water, that's going to be called bitul kli mehechano. That's how the Beis Yosef learns the pshat in Shitas HaRambam. Now, if this is stam a pilpul in Beis Yosef, maybe we wouldn't have done it. But this is exactly how the Chafetz Chaim learns lahalacha, what's going on in our sugya. Take a look at the halacha inside. Shin lamed ches, bathe. Shin lamed ches ches. We have in Shulchan Aruch, mutter liten kli tachas el for Shabbos. It's permissible to put under a leak. Vim nismale shofel matzur mekomo, vuhu shiyah delef roi l'rechitza. It has to be a drip that's roi l'rechitza. Avomeina roi l'asur, mishum she'ein osen graf shel re'i l'chatchila. You're not allowed to make a graf shel re'i l'chatchila. So therefore, what the Rambam is saying is that since you can't make a graf shel re'i l'chatchila, that becomes a violation of bitul kli mehechano. That's the way they learn pshat in the Gemara on Mem Gimel. Take a look at the Be'er Halacha. Asur mishum she'ein. Hine, ikar atam da'asal amidu tachas adelf hu, mishum she'ein mevatlin kli mehechano. D'lo ye'echoles b'yado la'azizo achar kach memkomo. Kivin d'isvei muktzav k'disa b'gemara. El mishum d'iyav ishari lasas graf shel re'i l'chatchila. But if you'll be mutter to make a graf shel re'i, lo ye'kari klau bitul kli mehechano. If you're allowed to make a graf shel re'i l'chatchila, so you're not being mevatel kli mehechano, do everything l'chatchila. Put the pot over there, put it down, and then take it out because the graf shel re'i. But it's called bitul kli mehechano because you're not supposed to do that. If you're not supposed to do that, then that's called bitul kli mehechano. You could have said not that way. You could have said that at the end of the day, since you would be allowed to remove it b'di'evet, that's not called bitul kli mehechano. That's the shita of the Rambam. The Rambam holds that even though b'di'evet you're allowed to do it, but l'chatchila you're not supposed to, and l'chatchila you're not supposed to, then it's called bitul kli mehechano. Kima shmud l'chach kach l'shafo, k'mo shemisim ha-mechab l'resov. Avol, kima d'kaimol d'einos in graf shu l'chatchila, im ken are muchach l'sratzos l'chatchila she'im munach sham b'kviyas. You have to want to leave it there. That's going to be considered bitul kli mehechano, and it's really in the Beis Yosef, not just in the Magen Avram. What is the sheet of the tour? So if you take a look at the Taz, there's a long, long Taz. The Magen Avram is very short. He explains the sheet of Sarama, and there's a long Taz, which we're not going to do. But in the punchline, the Taz gives the svara of the tour as well. The last four lines in the Taz, the long Taz, Sifkatan Dalid, so all the way at the end of the siman, he says, Avlatur Svirle Kiraba. The aim baze isegraf lechatchila. This is not called the isegraf lechatchila. Why? Kivan shekfar hagishamim mizalfin bebayis. This is not making a graf shori lechatchila because the water is already in the house. The iser would be for you to pour the water into the house. That would be enos and graf shori lechatchila. And if you do that, then the Rambam might be right. If you put the kli under, that would be called bitul kli mehechana. But if it's already raining in, so then in such a case, it's going to be mutter. Bottom line, Rabbi Osai, is la halacha, if there's a leak, lechatchila, if we're talking about water that's mamish disgusting, then there is a problem of ein osin graf shor I lechatchila. However, we have, and bitul kli mechana. However, we have the heter of the Be'er Halacha. The Be'er Halacha concludes, v'ayim b'chaya adam, halfway through the Mermaskel Aser, v'ayim b'chaya adam shekasav, d'memakum tzarek gadol, yesh lisbo chalatur, d'pasuk shafil, b'ein aroi mutter, liten kli tachtav. He says, this svara that we were just mazver in the tour, that the tour is aware of everything that we just said above. Even though you could have argued that the Torah was just talking about Ein Kli Nitl Tzarech Dar Nitl, he didn't make any reference to Bitul Kli Me'echana. But if you're going to learn the way that Tazit understood that the Torah holds, that's not a problem, Bitul Kli Me'echana at all, because, in other words, the Torah was aware of all the above. And he held that the halacha is that this is not called Osen Graf Shor Rilachatchila, and therefore not Bitul Kli Me'echana. So then in such a case, it would be mutter to put something down to catch a leak, to catch damage, water damage, in a case of even where the water is not roi l'rechitza. Many instances, by the way, the water, it could very well be roi l'rechitza as well, and be mutter. This is the shita of the Torah l'halacha. Okay, so you do have a problem, bitul kli me'echana. It relates to that sugya of the enos and graf shor l'chatchila. B'shas hadchak, one could rely on the shita of the Torah, according to the way the Taz was Masbir as the Be'er Halacha Paskins. Of course, it's no kasha, maybe of course it's too strong an expression, but there would be no stira, even though the first time I saw the Dirshu made reference to it, I thought they were asking as a stira. I look back, they're not necessarily asking a stira, they're just pointing out an irony that we did end off last time that the halacha of Ein Osen Graf Shor Rilachatchila means even if there's a hefsid, even if there's a significant hefsid, you're not allowed to make Graf Shor Rilachatchila. That we saw in the Be'er Halacha and Divrei Machzkel Ein Osen Graf on page 218. So they point out that there's an irony over here, that on the one hand, the Be'er Halacha paskin, that b'makom hefsid, that the halacha is, that you're allowed to say that it's not a problem that you're making Graf Shor Rilachatchila and Bitul Kli Me'echano, yet the Gra over there said, even makom hefsid, you have to be machmir. And it's very hard to differentiate between the expression over here that of the Chai Adam that says Makom Tzarek Gadol and Hefsid is a hard line to draw, but it's no stira, it's Kaftar Ferach, because what was the Gra saying over there? The Gra was saying that you're not allowed to make a Graf Shor Rilachatchila even Makom Hefsid. What does it say in the next halacha, the second half of Sif Lamed Vav in our Siman in Shin Ches? What does it say? V'im avar v'asal mutter lotzielo. If b'di'eved there's already a graf shori'i, so then in such case you're allowed to take out. You're not allowed to make it l'chatchila, even makom hefsid, but if it's b'di'eved, then it's going to be fine. What was the whole chiddush that the Taz said in Shishita Satur? The whole point of the tour was that since it's already raining in, then in such a case, that's not the isra of bitul kli me'echana and ein osen graf shori'i l'chatchila, since it's already raining in. In other words, Gufa, the point that the tour holds of, according to the Taz, is exactly the exception to the Graz Chumrah. The Graz himself writes that my Chumrah is b'makom hefsid to do it l'chatchila, but b'di'eved, then in such a case it's going to be mutter. The Chaya Adam is just saying that since the Rambam doesn't hold that this is a case of b'di'eved, so you could only be mekel b'shas hadchak. But according to everybody, once you have a case where you have a vadai graf shor re'i, then in such a case it's mutter to remove, and there would be no problem of moving the graf shor re'i, as well as there would be no problem of bitul kli mehechano. Ad kan, this sugya that can be a little bit complicated. Yes, Yitz.
And the Taz explained the Torah said that since the graf shor re'i is already there, you can just put the kli there.
Right.
Isn't that more of a reason to say that's bitul kli mehechano? I mean, the graf shor is there, it's going to be there whether or not you put the clue there, but you put the clue there. Just
no, because it's not it's not called Ein Osen Graf Shor Re'i L'chatchila, because the graf shor re'i is already there. Once it's already there, then there's no problem, bitul kli me'echano. The whole problem, bitul kli me'echano, is that it was usher to to put it there because you're making a graf shel re'i. But here you're not making a graf shel re'i. The graf shel re'i is already there. And the Rambam will say, no, it's not already there. You didn't put the kli there. So it's not called already there. That's how the Taz is being mazbir. Do you understand how? Yeah. Okay. Good. Okay. That's the shiloh over here. Okay, let's go to a couple cheerful topics. Let's go to a different category. Actually, when I gave the introduction, really, I should have said there are three topics for today. One was what we just did, Kli Nitl and Bittul Kli Mechano, and its application to leeks. And the second topic is different examples of where it's usher to be metaltel a kli, where the chshash is not muktza, but it's an entirely different chshash. It's an entirely different chshash. The chshash is that you're going to come to do malacha. So today we're starting out with two examples of that are discussed with Isser Tiltel that really have nothing to do with Xeras Tiltel, of Xeras Tiltel of Muktzah. The first was the problem of Bittul Kli Me'echano, which is some din d'rabbanan of either you're pinning the Kli down to the ground or you're being sosa the Kli, however you explain that. And now we have other examples of Isurei Tiltel. And this is back in our simon. In Sif Tezayin, we have the following halacha. We speak about broken kelim. The Mechaber says, Kira shenishmeta, afilu achas miarchoseha, osa letaltza. If you have a oven that's lost one of its legs, you're not allowed to be metalta. Explains the Mishnah Bura, achas miarchoseha, vahatam, the gazrinan sheme yiska harega l'sham b'chozek l'chabra. We're afraid you're going to try this. If we're going to allow people to be metalta a broken item, so then they're going to come to fix it. Now, we haven't really done, maybe we'll finish Muktza before the end of the Zman, and maybe this might be a good topic for us to do, is the Isser of Tzkiya and the Isser of Bona, of screwing items. Oh, we did touch on some of it. Not enough. But the Isser of screwing items inside, so that's, if you have to be tokei, you have to screw inside, so then in such a case, it's an Isser d'araisa of either makel patish or bonus. So here we have Gzerim Midrabanan. The Gzerim Midrabanan is, if we're talking about a utensil that if you reattach it will be an Isser d'araisa, you can't be metalta. And therefore, says Ramah, v'chein tzafsel orach shenishmeta achas miragleha. If you have a bench that it had its legs separate from it, kol shekein shtayim, and certainly if two legs were removed, then you can't be metaltalit. Afilu nishbra mebod yom. So what's this kol shekein over here? So the Sharetzion points out that there's svei dinin. One shaila is the gzera of kira. One is the din of kira that the hainu, not kira perakira. The shaila of the broken kira that you might come to fix it on Shabbos, and therefore you can't be metaltal. And then there's another problem, and that is that's not a kli at all. So the Sharetzion speculates, based on Achronim, that if there's three legs, so then it's a kli, it's still a kli because it could stand, right? A leg could stand with three legs. It's not very sturdy, but it could still stand. A leg with two legs, table with two legs can't stand at all. Since it can't stand at all, so you have another problem. You don't have now the gzeira that you might do in malacha, but it's muktzah machmas gufa. That's going to be a separate thing. So that's probably the oimik of the kol shekein, even though the achronim are mefalto on the kol shekein, but that's probably the oimik of the kol shekein. Okay. So therefore, what emerges is we need to draw a line over here, practically. We've got to get a little practical. And that is, when do you have a concern that someone's going to fix the item, and therefore you're not allowed to be metaltal it at all. So, before we get practical, let's just see how Rav Nissim Karelitz applies what I just said from the Sharetzion in terms of interesting halacha l'maisa application. He quotes the Be'er Halacha in Dibra Maskel de Aser. Let's take a look at the Be'er Halacha. The Asa l'Taltal Anicha, V'hu Adin D'Stam Tiltal Asa Gamkein Etzla Kamo Gavikira, El Rebusa Nakin, Kein Mucha B'Trumas Hadeshin. U'mikol Mokom Nira, D'Be'ei Shenishmat HaRegon Menu V'Yorei Shelo Tipol HaSafsel V'Yazik La'ad Amutu L'Taltal Fanosu Misham. U'memeil D'Mutur Asa Samcha HaSafsel Acher V'Lei Shalav Ach Yizar Shelo Yitaltal B'Shivaso. He says, the Be'er Halacha says, that if it's going to hurt somebody, so then you're allowed to be metaltel even if it's missing a leg. Adds Rav Nissim on page Kuf Yutes. Mashma Midvarav. The Savsel Shenishmat Achas Mi Raglel Lo Gar Miklishan Lachal Iser. Dimnatol Biyad Behetem Mutlo Laniach Beizem Makom Shiyirtze. He said, it sounds like that once you're allowed to move it, you're allowed to put it anywhere. And that we saw is the heter by klishim lachal iser. By muktzah machmas gufa, it's much more complicated. Valkein, hitrim natul esalik ezek, dimutta samchal safsa, lisha velot. And therefore, you're allowed to move it and sit on it. Mavur, dinaket the iser hu atiltul. So we see from here that the iser is tiltul. The chshash is the regular tiltus kelim. Ubepashtus, Rav Nissim argues, hayinira de iser hu ashimush bederach smicha mishum shem yiska. Vikiman shenesar hashimush, Asar a tiltal. See, he said you could have said that it's this that we say that since it's permissible, you're allowed to put it down on the bench. That no, there's a regular xeris tiltal that applies to this item. And then he adds, and this is a punchline. I didn't dot all the i's across all the t's of what he was just saying. But let's jump to this punchline. Mikol makom muktzah machmas gufo lo mikri. It's not considered muktzah machmas gufo. Da'dayin mikri osa melachto. He says it's not considered muktzah machmas gufo. Va'af benishmatu shtei raglayim mitzadik b'sharet zion lahatir. Even though the sharet zion says that maybe there is a full throttled iser over here, that not only it's an iser that you'll come to do melacha, but it becomes muktzah machmas gufo. He says that the sharet zion does not conclude that way. Va'af I b'shtei raglayim hayosar haynu mishum shitzarech ha'amada im dvar miyuchad b'ofen shelo yachlik. The fact that it's not used in its normal way is not going to make a muktzah machmas gufa. And he says, here we have an interesting nafkamina. What would the halacha be if you have the wheel of a stroller that falls off and you can no longer use the stroller? So now there's two halachas that we need to deal with. One halacha that we need to deal with is the iser of tiltal, that you might come to fix it. And the other is, though you consider that agala as being muktza machmas gufa, because it's not a functional kli. That's what he says, v'unaf kemin v'kam inyon k'gon agala sh'nishvita galgala b'emtze iluha imut l'hamshech l'elech kol ima agala. Are you allowed to continue walking? If it's kli shemalachta l'iser, so you started the maiseh tiltal beheter, so then in such a case, he argues, it could very well be that you'd be allowed to continue. Just continue rolling it. He says, but if we're talking about muktzah machmas gufo, then that would be a real problem. He concludes, im agola tishar b'mokom hefker, yochel lomar l'goy. But if we would stay in mokom hefker, you would need to ask a goy, but that certainly would be mutar. Hayotze midvareinu, we have an open question in the Achronim, whether this iser tiltal is a unique din in regards to tiltal that you might come lidei malacha, and it certainly wouldn't be more chomer than klisha malacha l'iser, and if you're already being metaltal, it then would be mutter, or there are times that once it breaks, it might have a din of muktzah machmas gufo, and you wouldn't be able to be metaltal at all. Yes?
The second thing we just said is the vibration on Shabbos, or we're talking about vibration on Friday.
Right. So you're saying as follows. If we say ein muktzah l'chatzi Shabbos, right? So the answer goes like this. That if it breaks on Shabbos, so then we were mechalek between the following. We said something that breaks on Shabbos, then it becomes full-fledged muktzah. Even though it wasn't muktzah ben hashmashos, because the kli itself is no longer ra'u. When did we say that it has to be ein ra'u ben hashmashos? That was because that was in a case of where you had the das balabayas. But if you have a kli that's mamish broken, and l'chura, you could argue that that if it doesn't have its fourth wheel, it's entirely broken. So then, even if it wasn't that way, bein hashmashos, so that would be the answer to your question. Okay, good. So that's issue number one as far as the gzeira. Let's read over that sharetzion again together. See what we think. Halach l'maisa. Let's try to be machriya the shayla. Halach lemaisa, he says, "V'chol fi mashi kasa this sifkat and samach tes in the sharet zion. Fi mashi kasa va'arch the minishu du shtei yirichas the kuli al masul lekashem kli ala aser. Efshar de nakat harama nishvar l'inyin shtei raglayim. Ve'efshar de l'inyin safsal kiven deroy lismachos al safsal acher adayim hiru ilashe malacha. So the Shaar HaTzion concludes in the following way. The Shaar HaTzion says that if you, there's a way that you could use the broken bench in any other way, so then in such a case it's going to still be considered a kli. So if you're able to put the broken bench on another bench, and that's common to be done, then that would be okay. However, if it has absolutely no use, then it's not going to be okay. So I would be mechalek between a stroller that has three wheels versus four wheels. In my career as a father, there were a few times that essentially I was pushing the stroller with three wheels and not four. It's not convenient, but it definitely works. Versus if you have two wheels broken, then that would be a real problem. So yotze midvareinu, that if you're not, you definitely should not take out the wagon that has one wheel that's broken because of the chash that you might come to be misaking. But if it's b'shas maisa, then there would be room to be mekel. If it has two wheels that are broken, then that would be more of a problem. Okay. Now let's apply it to more common cases, leaving aside the lumbus. Let's get very practical. A great example of being mechadeh these halachos are the halachos of glasses that broke on Shabbos. And from my perspective, over the years, I think in the Kitzer Sfarim, I've only seen it concretized clearly in the last 5 years. The Hainu, if you take a look at the old Shmir Shabbos Kehilcha, so it's very, very vague. The new Shmir Shabbos, you know how much it takes to get me to photocopy from the new Shmir Shabbos Kehilcha. So I had my back against the wall. You have to go to the new Shmir Shabbos Kehilcha. The older edition is just very, very vague. But in the new one, they do an excellent job in being mechadeh all of these halachos that we just learned in very practical terms. So here, you have an irony. It depends on how broken the utensil is of whether it's muktzah or not. In other words, if it's something that you could fix on Shabbos and is usur for you to do, then paradoxically it's going to become muktzah. But if it's something that you can't fix at all, but it's still a kli, so then in such case it won't be muktzah. Isn't that fascinating? And this all stems from this halacha. So let's take a look. Rav Neuberg. This is Tesvav Pei Beis. Adasha shenafla min mishkafayim. If you have a lens that pops out of glasses, you're not allowed to pop it back in because of tikkun kli. I would imagine if there is a brand of glasses that the style is to take the lens in and out, so then in such a case, of course, it would be mutter. But a normal instance, it would be aser. Gam. And it's also prohibited to straighten out the how do you describe the sides of the glasses? The what are these called?
Arms.
The arms? What?
Let's say they make also the lenses that pop on and off.
Right. So lenses that pop on and off are gonna be mutter. But if the sides of his the glasses are broken, if a screw falls out, and it's also usur to be metaltal. You're not allowed to use wire. V'ilu legabe, skip to a couple of lines. V'ilu legabe tilto adashot v'amaltot v'agufa mishkafayim, harei adover toli besuga kilkul. Im hu kilkul shu atzma yachol ataknim bebli lezkek limumche, harei masur metaltal. So if you have glasses that are broken, that you would be able to fix on your own, so then in such a case, then it's aser b'mutza. V'im tikunam dorish avodat mumche, mutzal etaltalam. But if it needs a mumche, then it's mutter letaltal. Mamish counterintuitive. But once you learn the sugya, then it makes a lot of sense. So that's the difference between the two, which all stems from this halacha that we just saw. We have Se'ifim Yutes and Chaf that are examples that are less relevant. Once upon a time, ladders were used only for fixing, and therefore a ladder was usher to move on Shabbos because you might come l'day melacha. Post can point out that today we use the ladders for many other reasons, and therefore it's going to be mutter.
Okay. Why aren't glasses
You mean when it's broken? Because it's still a kli. Be muktzamachnas gufo. What would be an example of glass that would become muktzamachnas gufo if the lens shattered? If the lens broke, so then in such a case it would be muktzamachnas gufo. But the lens didn't shatter, so the lens is a fine kli. Then in such a case it would be mutter. Okay. We now go to Seifim Lamites and Mem, and these are the halachos of Balei Chaim on Shabbos. Tarnit, let's go straight to Mem. Actually, Lamites follows very nicely with the sugya of Ein Kli Nitl that we did previously. You could do that yourself. And here we have a Mishnah on Daf Kuf Chaf Ches Amud Beis. Tarnigola Shebarcha, we'll do it through the eyes of the Torah. Tarnigola Shebarcha Dochen Osa Me'achora Kadesh Tikanes Avol Ein Midadin Likach Osa Bagafeh Afal Pisha Ragleha Ba'aretz. If a chicken has escaped, so then you're allowed to push it along, but you're not allowed to lift it when you're moving it, even if the legs are dragging along on the ground. There's a difference between a tarnigol and other animals. What's the difference? When it comes to a tarnigol, we're afraid that you're going to pull out its feathers, its wings. So that's a gzera midrabanan. But other animals are going to be mutter as long as its feet are dragging along the ground. So here, the Beis Yosef points out, the Ramaskal Mashkosel Bovad, he points out that there seems to be a machlokus between Rashi and the Ran. He points out that Rashi says that the reason why you're not allowed to lift the animal up where its legs are dragging, still where the legs are not dragging on the ground, in other words, that you're not allowed to pick it up entirely, that's because it's muktza. So what's the inference? That if the legs are dragging along the ground, so then in such a case, you're not doing the whole tiltel, and then it's going to be mutter. It's what Maybe Rabbi Rav Nevensal calls tiltel b'miktzas. That's called tiltel b'miktzas. And therefore, the Shita Rashi seems to be that tiltel b'miktzas is going to be mutter. The Beis Yosef points out immediately that the Ran learns the sugya differently. The Ran says, take a look in the Beis Yosef, because of the Ran, miu kashali, hech medodim behem achai v'ov, klaut, v'afilu b'chotzer, outside the shiloh v'otzah, kol midi lo chazir tiltel, k'shem metaltan kula, kachem metaltan miktzasov. He says no. There's no heter even to be metaldo mixas. Lefichach nirali dahacha mishum tzar balechayim naguba. Says the Ran. No. Over here was a heter of tzar balechayim. That was what the heter was based on. Tzar balechayim, and therefore that's why you're allowed to nudge it along. That's the nature of this heter. The heter is tzar balechayim. So we really have a very, very fundamental machlokus over here between the interpretation that I gave you according to Rashi versus the Ran. And that is whether tiltel b'miktzas is going to be mutter b'balei chayim. That according to Rashi, the answer is yes. According to Ran, the answer is no. What would be the test of how the Mishnah Berurah paskins? The test would be, does the Mishnah Berurah bring down the heter of tzar balei chayim? If when he quotes this halacha, he brings down tzar balei chayim, then what do we see? That tiltel b'miktzas is still called tiltel, and the heter is a unique heter for tzar balei chayim. The poor chicken is lost. But otherwise, it would be usher. So if you take a look, how does the Mishnah Berurah present it? In Sif Mem, on page 219 in the Mishnah Berurah, he says in Kuf Nun Aleph, Umtzrichin umishum tzar balei chayim. The heter over here is based on tzar balei chayim. The lokein also the last kein, the b'chol mit lo chazim atitl, shem she'em metaltelin kulo, kach em metaltelin mitzas. So just like he can't move all of it, you can't move part of it. So even though it's not clear in the Shulchan Aruch how the Shulchan Aruch paskins, the Mishnah Berurah is quite clear that he's passing that this heter is a heter of Tzar Balei Chayim. Now what's interesting is that the heter over here is doing tiltel b'miktzas, but not tiltel b'kulo, even for Tzar Balei Chayim. And this, of course, is based on the Gemara. Kuf Chaf Ches Amud Beis. The Gemara says that the heter over here to move these animals along is Tzar Balei Chayim. The Gemara already makes reference to that. And some quote this Gemara seems to be the source of that Tzar Bali Chaim is a Din Doraisa. The question is, what about... Lagami. Correct. So it could just be that it's a Hutra Dechuya type of question, as I'm about to say. I'm about to get to that. And that is that, it's a very good point. That is, if you take a look at the Magen Avram in Shin Hei, Sif Yud Aleph, the Magen Avram says that this heter is only b'miktsas. He says, but to be metalto b'kulo is going to be usher. That's how the Magen Avram paskins. The Mishnah Berurah references this Magen Avram. You look back in Shin Hei Yud Aleph, Mishnah Berurah Sif Katan Ayin, he quotes the Magen Avram, and then he quotes the Elyo Rabbah. That the Elyo Rabbah says, no, that's going to be mutter to be metalto b'kulo. Which gets a little bit tricky. The Magen Avram at a certain level makes sense because the Gemara talks about medada, 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 and so it sounds. And there for Tzar Bali Chaim it's mutter. Oh, according to Elyo Rabba, why did the Gemara say medada? Because the halacha says Elyo Rabba is that you could even be metaltel the whole animal if it's a case of Tzar Bali Chaim. Because the tiltel is going to be mutter. The Magen Avram, by the way, partly in response to your question, says. Cryptically, he says cryptically, Eli, cryptically because of his reference. He makes a reference to somewhere in Hilchos Yontif. He says that we see she'emidu devrayim afil b'makom iser kares. That we see that there are times that Chazal or Machmir even makom iser kares. So even if Tzar Bali Chaim is doraisa, he doesn't spell out that he's being mefalpa whether doraisa or derabanan. But he says emidu devrayim afil b'makom kares. It sounds like he's saying even the makom the doraisa of Tzar Bali Chaim. Yeah. What's that?
You go up against the Los Asse.
Yeah, he's talking about Los Asse. He's talking about the cars of Yom
Kippur. Any other places where you see that?
Sure. He gives a reference. I mean, that's his reference. I found quite complicated. But we do have examples of siyagim. I mean, the classic example is Yesh Kof Yachal Makatav and Tor B'Shev Al Tasa, right? But here
is.
This is
Tzar Bali Chaim.
Right, but it's not Los Samo. But yeah.
I'm saying it's a Losas. It's not Sheva Tasa, the Isser Sheva Tasa.
Right.
If you send the animal in pain, you have to go save it.
Right. Enochanan. It's a good point. As far as how we pass the Shu'a Shabbos Kilchasa in Perichav Zayin, Ost Tzadi Ches, it has a long list of Marmakomos. I forgot to put it in your booklet. Ultimately, he quotes that the Chazon Ish is Mekel, that the Chazon Ish says that you could be Mekel to move Bali Chaim even Legamri, b'makom tsar Bali Chaim. Again, that becomes an issue in Pshat. I find that I have a little bit of a hard time. Why then the Sugi was talking about Tiltel the Mikzah? Okay, so that's the bottom line, is that when it comes to the Isur of Tiltel Bali Chaim, but Pashas, you have a heter when it comes to Tzar Bali Chaim. According to Rashi, of course, Tiltel Mimitzas would entirely be permissible. But clearly, the Mishnah Berurah and the Magen Avram don't follow that position. Now, there is a famous hack about pets. And we're going to divide the Shaila of pets into two parts. One Shaila in regards to pets would be the Shaila of moving pets on Shabbos, and the other would be petting pets on Shabbos. Really, it'll be two different categories. So let's take a look at the Ma'arach Arzarua. There's a famous Ma'arach Arzarua. A couple famous Ma'arach Arzaruas. Yitz taught me one of them in NCS Wakol at summer. I haven't forgotten. And the, you know, yeah, very good. That's right. Very good. So there are a couple famous Ma'arach Arzaruas. Most of us don't know many Ma'arach Arzaruas, but this is in the top five. By the way, my father said to me once when I said it's a famous something. My father said it's famous because you happen to know it. That's what we call it, famous. So it's just I don't know any other Ma'arach Arzaruas. So anyone that we do know is famous. So if one takes a look, the Ma'arach Arzarua, the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa was the one who made it famous, where he talks about sounds like a parakeet. If you take a look in your booklet, by the way, in the Beis Medrash, I was using Otzer HaChachma at the time, but in the Beis Medrash, they actually have the new edition. I don't think that I've looked it up in the new edition. I don't think there are any real differences. Let's go through it because it's interesting. About halfway through the booklet, Va'od Hodiyuni. So this is the son of the Arzarua. Rabbeinu Yitzchak was the Arzarua. His son was Chaim Eliezer. Not common to have Rishonim who had two names. Chaim, his son was Chaim Eliezer ben Rabbeinu Yitzchak. So he's sending a shaila to his rabbanim. And he sends a shaila, but he asks them, "Is my cheshbon correct?" And he says as follows: "Va'odo diuni ki nearly afal pisha balechayim muktzim ninu mikol makum nearly v'hatel etaltel opos hamitzaf tzefim bekol noa beklova." If you have birds that are trapped in its cage, the lekla mechash dul mashamit gudfayu, you have no concern about pulling out the wings. Kivan shebnei adam nenim bikolam. Since people enjoy their sounds, lav muktzim ninu, it's not considered muktza. And he brings an interesting riot. Midi dehavi asil kusta, like the case of silkusta. What's the case of silkusta? So that is the Gemara on daf nun amabez. The Gemara talks about grass that people would use to smell on Shabbos, similar to what some people do with hadassim. So they would leave the grass in dirt, and the Gemara discusses what about the problem of taking it in and out of dirt, not attached. That's not mechubar at all. But what about the fact that you're making holes in the dirt? And the Gemara says, similar to what we spoke about, the knife that's taken in and out of a keg, that if the hole's already been made, so there's no problem of making a hole in the dirt. And the Gemara says it's going to be mutter. So wait a second, points out Marach Har Zeruah, that what we have is that we have a case of something that's ostensibly muktza, but you decided to use it in a different way, and then it assumes a new identity. The Gemara is not concerned about tiltel. So he says the same thing. You could change Balei Chaim and take them out of Balei Chaim, just like you could take vegetation, which is muktza, and make it no longer muktza because you use it in a certain way. So too, when it comes to birds. If the bird is a wild bird, it's not a domesticated bird, then you're going to be stuck. But the moment to which you domesticate it, and that is the tzura of that bird, so then in such a case, he says an interesting chat, that just like that silkusa is for smelling, so he says, shehi the marav, or it's for mare, or if it's for kol, so he says, marav kol ki adadi ninu, l'inyam mila, like when it comes to silkusa, so mi'ila, so then that's going to be mutter. And then he says, raya from klei shir, that clay shear is not a problem, except for lest he come to be metaltalit. But once in which you use it for something, then in such, I'm sorry, the clay shear is going to be usher only because you're going to play with it and it's going to break. But otherwise, it's not going to be muktza. Why? Because you're using it for its call, and once you're using it for its call, it's mutter. So he says the same thing, these birds. Use the birds for their call. They have a nice chirp, and therefore it's not going to be muktza at all. That's what the Ma'arach Har Zeruah argues. And this is quoted by some kadmonim. There are some, the Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa, it's in your booklet, in Os, in Perich Chav Zayin, Os Sadi Vav. He quotes a Nezer Yisrael, that the Ner Yisrael, Nezer Yisrael made reference to this Ma'arach Har Zeruah. The problem is that Reb Shlomo Zalman asked that on the exact same page, the Marach was the Har Zeruah was asking the Shaila. Who was he asking the Shaila to? So it's not so clear. He starts off, I looked at the beginning of the tshuva, it's on the photocopy, he says, Yilamdenu Rabbeinu. He starts off just asking his Rabbein. But in what we have, on the page of Marach Har Zeruah, no one less than the Rush responded to his Shaila. On the same page, I underlined it, the Rush responds to that Shaila, whether it was directly to him, sounds like the Pashtus it is. Vala ofos lo meleini lebilahetar. He says, the fact that you could change the identity of a kli is not a big kunst, because that's already mutter. Problem was that the Rush did not respond to his raya from Silkusta. The raya from Silkusta was a decent raya. He doesn't seem to respond to that raya, which I'm wondering with maybe the Rush wasn't necessarily not clear whether Rush wasn't responding to him or whether he was, and he just for whatever reason was not miyaches. At the end of the day, the Rush responds that it's going to be aser. So when, if you ask Rav Nevensal the Shaila about pets, he'll generally say the Rush holds its officer. Notice he doesn't go with the Havamina, the Talmud. In the Sefer itself, the Marach Ar Zeruah itself, even though there's a sharp svara over there, that's how the Rush paskins the Chumrah. So to this day, there is a deal as far as that's concerned.
Right, he clearly published, this is his Sefer.
Right.
So he published the Rush's Tshuva.
Right. So that means he's still, it was Omed Mishaloh. In other words, the Talmud felt that you could follow his position. Is that what you're driving at? Or the other way? You're saying that the Rebbe Paskin not like this.
Yeah, the Mishad is a true statement. You're Paskin to Mishad.
Right. Well, so you and Rav Nevensal are in agreement.
But people follow the Shaila as a valid svar.
There are many. There are many who have, but in a partly illegitimate way, because they publicized that Marach Ar Zeruah was matir without mentioning that at the end of the tshuva the Rush, the tshuva is a
Rush. It's not so much as a machlokas because he asked it as a shayla.
Correct, I agree. I'm a kabbal. So if you take a look at Yitzchak Yikarei the Ramaskal Osir, that's how we pass him. Afilu Balechaim Omim L'Shashua Hei Muktzim B'Yamtiv. Hey Muktzim. We'll skip B'Yamtiv now. Mir Tzachem, one day we'll learn Hilchos Yamtiv together. Admor Zal Nistapek Dilma Kalbo Shel Suma. Dina Kikli. So this is really sharp. Rav Nevensal quotes from Rav Shlomo Zalman, and there you have the Maror Makom, that says that there might be one exception, and that is a seeing eye dog. And a seeing eye dog might be even better than a pet. That what? Notice his formulation. That a seeing eye dog will be considered like a kli. In other words, even the Rush would be molded. That's the way I would read this. That even the Rush would be molded, because it's mamish a kli. It's the eyes of the blind person, and therefore it would be mutter. Now, interestingly, you have him concluding that when it comes to an aquarium in New York, we didn't refer to a fish tank as aquarium, but I think in Israel it is referred to as a fish tank is referred to as an aquarium. So he writes that an aquarium Reb Shlomo Zalman said is mutter. Now, it's an interesting question. Why did Reb Shlomo Zalman say that it's mutter? But the bottom line is that he was no to lahakel. And I've discussed this with Reb Nevensal a few times, and in different occasions he alluded to the fact that Reb Shlomo Zalman was quite makel on the shaila in general. And bottom line is, when it comes to a fish tank, he felt that one could be makel. It could very well be the fish, and a fish tank is more of a kli. It's closer to the seeing eye dog than it would be other animals. I have more to say about this, but let me hear what you have to say. Go ahead. Yeah.
I think just two questions.
Sure.
So, the Rush with respect to seeing eye dog. Mm-hmm. He obviously doesn't talk about it directly, but he seems to somewhat reference it by saying that even if there's a Zoref Gadol, that it's also. Meaning he's referencing when it comes to the Matmas Gufo.
Right.
And he says that a few Zoref Gadol is going to be also the Tazo. So, he says even more
so. So that's actually a lumdish discussion. So what, Yehuda, can anybody respond to Yehuda?
Talking about
he says Lutzarek Gadol. So Lutzarek Gadol, isn't that the seeing eye dog? What's the terrace?
Right, it's a kli. Over here it's a kli, therefore you don't have same issues. It's only in a case where it's
why is it different shaila? Right, good. Because Tzarek Gadol might not be because it's a kli. Tzarek Gadol could be other things. Tzarek Gadol might be that the dog is disturbing you. That's a Tzarek Gadol. He doesn't say that it's going to be mutter al-tzakli. He says that you might have thought that makam tzarek gadol, it's going to be mutter. You made an assumption that tzarek gadol would include an instance where the dog could be called a kli. Shlomo Zalman would say, no, that tzarek gadol is not a case of where you could turn him into a kli.
Well, what's the hadara for when you turn something into a kli that way? Like, how did they decide that this is a function that you've decided is now a kli and other things are not?
Well, that was Reb Shlomo Zalman's chiddush. Reb Shlomo Zalman's chiddush was that a seeing eye dog is mamish in its function is not really a baal chai. What it is a sensor, is a non-electronic sensor on behalf of a blind person.
And that works for other people also?
Not necessarily.
Or just the blind
person. That would get back to the discussion of what it is for the baal bais and what it is for everybody else. If it's once it's heter la shirim, so then it would be mutter la nim, the chule.
Okay, so then I guess just leading from there into the next question, which is, A lot of people have like therapy pets or whatever.
Right.
Some of them are like legitimate. Some of them are kind of fake.
Right.
But
I would guess that Shlomo Zalman would be note to Lakula. I'll try to ask them themselves.
Like meaning people who like they get like a note from a doctor that says I can carry.
No, that's not halachically significant. But something that would be really would be, ironically, I'm now going to fall into your trap of tzorach gadol. But if it would be really used as a tzorach for a kli, so then in such a case, I would say that it would be mutter. Yeah.
But what does Rabbi mean by
according to Rabbi Shlomo Zalman? There are other posts from more
math. What does Rabbi Shlomo Zalman mean by that a fish tank is mutter? What are we talking about? Touching it, picking it up?
Right, carrying the fish tank,
right,
and moving it around because it doesn't have any functional kalim inside. But because it's now used entirely as a kli, it's probably the same svara. That once it's being used as a kli, it exits its state of the regular dinum of Baal Echayim. Where I do agree with you, Rav Yehuda, is that the pashtus, so the rush, is that it's very black and white. He says, once it's Baal Echayim, it's always Baal Echayim. There I agree with you.
What if you change the fish tanks like that on the one?
If you have two people, there'll be... touching is always mutter. The only shaila would be in terms of moving. Jacob, you had done before.
I was asking mm-hmm. if it was touching versus moving also. And also, are we making chiluk between who owns the pet? Or?
No. In other words, once it would seem to me that once you have a blind person and the pet for him is a kli, then it becomes a kli for everybody. Even though it's not Baruch Hashem, you and I could see, but it's a kli because its function, it's mahus for the Baal Bayis. But the inverse would not be so. The hainu, that if it was owned by someone who didn't need it as a seeing eye dog, but it could be used as a seeing eye dog, then that becomes a fascinating question for the blind person. It's not kosher that then it would not be mahus for the blind person.
So you can say the same thing as like glasses for someone else. Like someone else's glasses are just as you need them.
Right, but remember, the Baal Bayis is magdir, whether it's mukhsa or not. Oh, so that would be an interesting question. That would be interesting. So that's a fascinating question. That's that. If you push me in the base management, maybe we'll start the next year on that question. That's a fascinating question.
Why would it be different from the dog? The dog's a clue for this guy because he needs it to save you.
So we learned that... That something that's not a kli for the Baal Bayis might be mukta for everybody. So that's the question: whether you can. We need the base medrash for this. It's not. I can't decide it. I'll regal achas. Yeah.
Someone clever and Rebbe Lemontel says that Rebbe Lemontel was mistapik. Rebbe thinks that he was makel mistapik about kabbal shel sumo.
Right. So that's in Shmir Shabbos Kilsa Perik Yuches Ha'aras Samach Beis. You're right. Here he says his lashon is mistapik. Very good point. But in Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, I thought it was even more explicit that he was Mako in regards. And Rav Nem, and I've also been influenced by what Rav Nemzal has told me. He's told me at times that Rav Shlomo Zalman was Mako with the seeing eye book. He has said that to me. Okay. Yes. Sure.
With the fish tank, why is it not a basis? Meaning the fish are also.
No, but the chiddush is that the fish are not considered considered a kli. Because once it's turned, once the fish are turned into an ornament, so that's how. Okay, one more shiloh before we get to petting. What about walking your dog with a leash? What about walking the dog with a leash? So again, Rav Nemzal over here. Just remember, here Rav Nemzal is assuming that moving the hair is a problem in general, but it's not a problem if it's on a leash. In other words, if you're pulling a leash, which is pulling the hair of the animal, and therefore you'd even be allowed to take them out to and with Zera Midrabban of taking out your animals, and it looks like you're taking them to the marketplace, would not apply today. What is not explicit over here is pulling the animal along. It just says if guarding it would be okay. So this might be an example of the dog leading the owner and not the owner leading the dog. There's a great mashal from Reb Chaim about that, right? Reb Chaim used to say that you've got two people are leading a horse. One, the horse is leading them, and the other is that they're leading the horse. And it could look like the exact same thing, but what's really going on is entirely different. Gadi Palak made that into one of his famous mashal. Yeah.
Wouldn't this be
Tiltul
Min
Atzad,
Lutzorech
Davar Ha'aser? So is this called Lutzorech Davar Ha'aser? So you're doing it so the animal is being able to be Mavrer. That's not Aser. In other words, it's not that you're interested in pulling, in moving the fur. You're doing it because you want to take your animal out for its walk. I think that could be called the Sarf Dover HaMotor. Yes?
So I was on a walk, attempting to show a maneuver,
just
following him around.
Okay.
And some guy from the Seaboard on the street came over to him and asked him, a lot of people getting dogs, what's the din with walking dog shows?
Right.
So Neuberger said very similarly, but he also said the same thing as your notes. I said that if the dog is pulling you, that's fine.
It's fine.
But you can't direct the dog in any way.
Oh, very good. Okay. That's
I thought you'd get it home, though, so maybe you shouldn't be with a new dog. But you said you really can't pull it.
And you wouldn't be able to pull it. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so that's a long line of thing. But here...
Why shouldn't you have a head dog Tzar Balichayim?
I mean, to take it out because it's Tzar Balichayim. In other words, the dog needs to get out once or twice a day.
Yes, you can let it out, can't pull it.
Yeah, so let it out, and then... Bergenfield to let the dog... run around. That was tough enough to convince the goyim to be able to put up an eruv. You know, so yeah.
Also, mishum sofa now, meaning you should be allowed to do it however you need to do it to be able to let it go on a walk because it's our balichayim. I mean, it's still meant to.
You can't pick it up.
A lot of you're making a few hanachas. We'll have to.
No, why? Meaning once we have Magen Avraham's halacha that we saw earlier.
Right.
Right,
we need to chesed whether A, that really qualifies as Tzar Bali Chaim, B, is the usage of Sofa Mishum Tfilasin over there, whether we could apply it over here. A few interesting hanafas that you're making that need to be examined. Okay, but what about not actually being metalto the animal, but petting the animal? So in regards to petting the animal, so we learned, we have that Kishmaka Ber Alach and Shin Beis Yud Aleph. What I think, if I'm remembering correctly, the old edition of Yitzchak Ikari did not have a long ka'ara from Rav Nemtzah, because we'll see that a few... Yeah. All right, but so we did discuss this last time. I just noticed in the new edition that there is an important ta'ara. But let's remind ourselves what we discussed already previously. We were discussing in Shin Beis Yud Aleph the halacha of wiping your hands that are dirty on Shabbos. So the Mechaber says, Misha Safla Yodo Batit, Mekancha Bizana Vasusa Vuznava Para, Ubemapa Kosher Si Lechos Bokosim. If your hands are dirty, so then you're allowed to wipe it on a horse's tail. The problem is to make a clean garment dirty because we're afraid you're going to come to wash it on Shabbos. So that's what was doing in Shin Beis. So the horse's tail is good. And the question is, what? Wait a second, but the horse's tail is mukhtza. So here we have a machlokes between the Tosefes Shabbos and the Ber Halacha. The Tosefes Shabbos says that we're talking about a horse's tail that was used in those days. They would cut off the horse's tail and they used that as a towel in the barn. In other words, every once in a while, I guess the horse's tail would also need a haircut. So they would just, instead of buying a shmata, they would use that as their shmata. So we're talking about something's off the animal, but if it's on the animal, then it's going to be a problem. And the Ber Halacha then speculates that it could very well be that the halacha is that it's going to be mutter because here is not considered part of the isser of tiltul balei chayim. So once you have this Ber Halacha, then this might be a heter that when it comes to fur, so then in such a case there isn't a problem of tiltul. Okay, so that is how some also justify being metaltal balei chayim. That even though the halacha is that metaltal balei chayim is also, and the Marach Bar Zeruah is complicated because we saw that he quotes himself the Rush. But nevertheless, it could be that even if you're not going to be metaltal your animal by picking it up, but maybe to pet it and just move its fur is going to be mutter. That's a big That's a big hetter. So, I was taken aback because Rav Elyada Goldwith quoted a sefer that quoted from Rav Nemetzal Psak that didn't sound familiar to me. And he quoted from a sefer called Shuvas Avigdor Alevi. So I asked Rav Nemetzal, is he familiar with this Shuvas Avigdor Alevi? He said, no idea. He had no idea. There are now Sfarim that are printed with his psakim that he didn't remember. When I brought it to him from the Mechari, he said, ah, yeah, that's safer. So what happens is, if you take a look in this Chuvas Avigdor Alevi, it's page Reish Pei Tes in that sefer. Rav Nemetzal was asked, Masha also talpa b'shavas behem b'chayvof ha'im litov mutar. Litov means to pet. So he said, "Betiltul mitzas yesh mekilim." That there's somewhere mekel betiltul the mitzas. That was his response. So I asked Rav Nemetzal that. I said to him, "Wait a second! Didn't you tell me that in general, Rav Shlomo Zalman, one should not follow those who are mekel in regards to pets in general, like the Marach Har Zerua? One should follow the Rush." In fact, I asked. There were a couple times that Talmidim asked me to ask him whether they should buy pets for their children, if they know that the children aren't going to play with it on Shabbos, and he suggested no, that they should not. They should not get pets. So here, he said, "Betiltul mitzas yesh mekilim." So he said to me that he thinks there's room that to point out that when it comes to petting animals, that there are those who are mekil even in regards to medida. We saw Shitas Rashi, that Shitas Rashi holds the tiltal b'miktsas is going to be mutter. So then, if we're talking about the fur, so then maybe there might be a little bit more room to be makel. I then asked him about this bear halacha, about the bear halacha that says that fur is not subject. So he said to me that this bear halacha is a tremendous chiddush, that he thinks the pashtus is not like that. That's what he told me. That to say that the fur of an animal is not subject to the yisur tiltal, that he found difficult. And now I just saw, just today I saw, that Rav Nemetzal himself, in the B'Yitzchak Yikare, says that he finds that the Be'er Halacha's Chiddush is difficult. And he concludes that he doesn't think it's a heter by itself, and in general, when it comes to Medad and Tarnagol Shabarcha, the Halacha is that it's mutter only for Tzar Balechayim, and hefsid mamon. And therefore, the fellow who did this, I think, did not characterize Rav Nemetzal Shita correctly. If you take a look at Ha'ara 72, he mentions the Be'er Halacha. But if you look at the B'Yitzchak Yikare, you'll see that Rav Nemetzal does not like the Be'er Halacha, lehalacha. And therefore, what emerges is as follows. Rav Nemetzal thinks that the heter of the hair of the animal is only when it's cut off the animal. If it's not on the animal, so then in such a case, if it's on the animal, then it will be a problem. He paskins against that Be'er Halacha. He does say that there are people who are mekel betiltel b'miktsas. He does say that, even though clearly the pashtus in the Mishnah Brura is that one should be machmir. This is an example where a quick response might not encapsulate entirely sheet. And as I mentioned to you, He did tell me that when I asked, should people buy animals that they will be metaphil Shabbos? Obviously, there's nothing against per se about buying pets that they would not be metaphil, but if the kids would play with them on Shabbos, so he did not recommend. And what's that?
Can you pet pets for
him? Oh, he says that it is mutter. Here he responds that it is mutter.
In
Shuvas Avigdor Alevi. But both, when you look at the B'Yitzchak Yikare, as well as in my communication with him, he discouraged by having pets and petting them. That's,
so it's mutter, but they're not.
I think, bottom line, if you asked him today, I leave off. Let me say it very straight. I leave off with a tzarach yon gadol. What in the Chuvas Avigdor Alevi, in both the B'Yitzchak Yikare, if you follow B'Yitzchak Yikare, as well as in what he told me a couple of times, It seemed that he was that he'd be machmir even for petting. For petting, he seemed to say, "Well, maybe there's you could be mitzarev." That's what it seems to me. The tzad that holds the tilt of a mitzvah. There's some who are meichel. That it would seem to me that the Tshuvas Avigdor HaLevi does not encapsulate his whole approach. That seems clear to me. Certainly, the footnote is not correct. In other words, it's clearly not based on the Be'er Halacha. The footnote is not correct. And in terms of Anhaga, if someone would publicize it, Rav Nevensal. So in the Smichas Chaver, it's written that Rav Nevensal is making in regards to petting animals, and I think that's not accurate. Yeah.
So what's the touching that we described earlier? That's a lot. If you can't pet, what is the touching that's mutter that we said earlier? Didn't we say earlier that you can touch an animal?
Right. So what's the difference between petting and touch? Is moving the hairs. That's the shaila. Are you allowed to be metaltel sa'aros on Shabbos? So the Be'er Halacha has it sad that sa'aros might be mutter, and then what comes out is that.
And we said Rav Nevensal only said walking a dog before is because it's tilto mina sad by the hair, which implies hair itself is a problem.
Exactly. That's from Nevensal Lashita, so in the two things. Exactly, correct. I didn't spell that out, but correct. That's a raya that in regards to here, he doesn't hold that as much. So that's why the footnote is definitely not correct. How you explain the fact that he said that petting is mutter, and he's using a shita that's not the standard shita, that I do leave off with a little bit of tzarchi, and I tried to ask him, it was at a time that he wasn't so well, I tried to ask him about that, I didn't get a full answer. Yes?
Nowadays, people get pets a lot of times because children have social issues or
autism. Right, no, that's along the lines of what Yehuda had asked. If the child really needs it, so then I think there's room to be made.
It's like seeing an eye dog, right?
Right, that'll become like a seeing eye dog. Again, the Yitz pointed out well that Rav Nevensal, the way he quotes Rav Shlomo Zalman is that he was Masupak, but I did hear from him that he was Makel in regard, that he characterizes Rav Shlomo Zalman's Shita as being makel when it comes to seeing eye. And so therefore, I think there might be room in those cases. But stam, carte blanche, I think people got the wrong impression that the Marachar Zerua is a heter, and that's definitely not the whole story. Okay, we'll stop over here, and we'll start buses. You could start buses now, Mitzvah Shema Monday.
Being there for not for not for me.
Right.
So then electric voice.